Welcome to the midday. I'm Norman Gilliland. Quiz question comes your way at 12:30. And between now and then, of course, we will have some music. We'll also have some conversation. And the conversation today will be with Emily Bersan, soprano, who is performing with the Middleton Community Orchestra tomorrow night. That's December 19th, 7:30 at the Middleton Performing Arts Center, and some Christmas stuff in there, but a lot of other things too, and you're, well, a big part of it. Welcome back to the midday. It's been a year, hasn't it?
Yes. Good afternoon, Norman. How are you?
I am doing well, and we have a little catching up to do with you.
Of course.
You're still, finishing year two of a three-year internship with the Chicago Lyric Opera?
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of the second year. We're on break for winter, but I'm actually in the middle of Hansel and Gretel performances. So we had four before the holiday and four after the holiday.
Yeah, well, that's a perennial favorite, isn't it?
Hansel, oh, it's wonderful.
Gretel. Probably the best-known thing by Engelbert Humperdinck.
It's the best name ever.
It's so good that latter-day performer in the 70s borrowed. He was quoted as saying something effective. Well, I think it hadn't been used for a while, so I think it was up for grabs. He pronounced his a little bit differently, Humperdinck, rather than Humperdinck.
Oh, okay, Humperdinck. Cool.
But the same name. And so you were playing Gretel in the...
I'm covering Gretel, understudying Gretel, and singing The Sandman.
So...
who's a very interesting character in this production. He's a puppet and a little man that's connected to my body, my feet, and I work the hands. And he's so sweet in a way. He looks pretty tired, comes in and sings and puts the children to sleep.
Well, I suppose if you're going to put people to sleep, it helps if you look tired yourself, right?
Yeah.
A lot of yawning in this part for you?
Oh, no, he just shakes a lot, I guess.
Is this your first foray into puppetry?
Yes, definitely. It was hard at first to actually sing the way I sing and not be too conscious of the puppet, but I got used to it. I became one with the character.
Well, I guess you have to, isn't it? Is that the way it's usually done, that role?
No, this is a production that is from Welsh National Opera, and they did it at the Met. And I don't know if you saw the broadcast. There was one of the movie broadcasts, the HD broadcasts. So it's a pretty dark production, back of the lyrics.
A lot of room for darkness if you're talking about the Grimm brothers, right?
Totally, and I think it really fits. It's not scary. I think it's what a child would imagine. Kind of just an interesting perspective on it.
And I suppose gives opportunities for some great sets, too.
Oh, yeah.
Use a lot of gingerbread.
Actually, it's the witch's kitchen is her kitchen, and she's very busy baking. So you have a blender and cocoa powder and all the ingredients for baking. So
you're doing those Christmas cookies.
Yeah, she's very busy.
So as a covering Gretel, you're the, mm-hmm. Is it understudy to apply here, mm-hmm. for that? What is your responsibility?
Well, we attend all the rehearsals. It's a pretty involved process because we get our own rehearsals, five or six rehearsals, rehearsing with the other covers, and then we perform a performance of it to see what it's like to, you know, perform before they open the show. So, you know, I was able to perform Gretel, which is a great opportunity.
So you have to have costume and everything all set to go.
All ready to go, yeah. Sometimes they have 20 minutes to get it together, depending on if they get sick. So
I was going to say, do you ever have like that kind of secret desire that, oh gosh, if just something should happen to Gretel, you know, I would have to take the role?
Well, I've heard of so many stories of such excitement to be able to show, strut your stuff, mm-hmm. and be ready to go on. But of course, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Well, here's something from, this would have been from last year's concert, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this is last December with the Middleton Community Orchestra.
And you're doing a favorite aria. It's one of those arias that seems to have become wildly popular all of a sudden, about 20, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, although it was obviously written over 100 years ago.
Yeah, I think because of the way Joan Sutherland sang it, or Maria Callas, and the idea of the mad scene is pretty fun. She hasn't gone mad yet.
No, this I think is popular because it's so sweet and lyrical. In fact, compared to the rest of the opera, Johnny Skeeky, it's real standout as being a tender, sweet
Ariel. Totally.
And,
yeah.
And here the character is what she's pleading with her father about.
Oh, yeah. This is Omeo Bambino Caro. Yes. So I thought we were talking about Lucia. This is great. So, yeah, she's pleading with her father here in Gianni Schicchi. Please let me marry Rinuccio. And she describes everything that she would do if he doesn't let her. She'll throw herself off the Ponte Vecchio, which is the bridge in Florence. So it's pretty dramatic.
All right, here we go. And but again, as dramatic things go in Italian operas, it's
pretty
almost,
normal.
Almost lyrical, really.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Omeo Bambino Caro from Gianni Schicchi and by Puccini. And this is the Middleton Community Orchestra with Emily Bersan, soprano. That's the way it sounded last year at that performance by the Middleton Community Orchestra at their holiday concert. Emily Bersan with that favorite aria from Puccini's Gianni Schicchi. So you're midpoint in your internship with Chicago Lyric, and after not Romeo and Juliet, but Hansel and Gretel.
Mm-hmm.
A very different couple. What would be part of your calendar? What would be in the offing?
So then comes La Bohème, another favorite,
sure.
Covering Musetta, the fiery one. And mm-hmm. then after that, I'm involved with Rigoletto. I'm the page, which is a small boy character.
Sure, yeah. So you're going back and forth between these, I'll call them pants roles,
mm-hmm.
and the big, title.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so great about the Ryan Opera Center is we get to do, you know, the smaller supporting roles and have the experience on stage and then be ready and prepare the roles that we'll do throughout our career in different points in our career.
And so what kind of career trajectory would all this point to for you?
Well, we can always hope that, I'll be doing what fits me and singing all over the world. I mean, I do have some engagements coming up, so I'm excited to get going on that and be launched from the Lyric and sing with all different orchestras.
Going to do some international travel then?
Yeah, I'll be in Norway, in Bergen, Norway in 2014. So stuff like that in London.
That's a wonderful city to be in.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see
what are you going to be performing in Bergen?
Both Elgar pieces with Sir Andrew Davis.
Elgar?
Yeah.
Well, there is a kind of a Norwegian Elgar connection.
Yeah, he has a mission right now to be recording all of the unknown Elgar pieces. So I'm doing a piece called The Saga of St. Olaf
in Bergen. That would play well there, yes.
And then in London, I'll be doing The Apostles. So we'll see where Elgar takes me in that kind of concert work.
Yeah, well, I don't think you have any operas to work with there, do you, in the Elgar department?
But Probably not, as you say,
there is some unknown stuff.
Yeah.
By Elgar.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it.
Well, you'll have a good time by the sound of it.
Of course, yeah.
And we have another one from last year. This one from Donizetti and Lucia, which actually has got another English connection because it's based on Sir Walter Scott, The Bride of Lammermoor.
Yes.
So this is an Italian slant on this
version, yeah.
English novel. I just have to ask, though, the way the novel ends, as I remember, is rather contrived, and that is the editor, the writer, Sir Walter, wanted to get rid of, I think, the main character, so he has him ride into quicksand at the end, which seems a little arbitrary, doesn't it? How does the opera
Edgardo,
resolve?
He has him ride into quicksand?
Yeah, hard to do on stage, so I assume that'd be, but it's a kind of a, I think, perfunctory ending for a book anyway.
Well, typical to opera, as Edgardo sees Lucia dead, she dies of exhaustion or just going crazy. He sings some beautiful high notes and kneels at her body, and that's when the curtain comes down.
Oh, I like that a lot better.
We'll take it.
Sometimes the spin-off is better than the original.
Of course.
Well, here we are then. What's the setup for this aria from Lucia?
This is Regnava nel Silenzio. So this is when we first meet her. And we see her innocence, how much she's in love, but her obsession for ghost stories. And she has just heard this ghost story of a woman being murdered at the fountain, and she thought that she saw that woman at the fountain, and so she's explaining to her nurse this story. So it's a little bit of a foreshadowing as of the end of how many hallucinations she has at the end.
Okay, from Lucia de Lammermoor.
Why did he pass?
as I was saying, Emily, I'm with Emily Brisson, and she's performing with the Middleton Community Orchestra tomorrow night. That's a Wednesday night, December 19th, the Middleton Performing Arts Center, their Christmas concert, though it's not all Christmas music by any means. As I was saying, it would be rare to have a performer in here listening to their own stuff who didn't kind of cringe a little bit. So, this was a year ago. Mm-hmm. Here you are now. And should I ask how you would have changed this? How you would have done this differently?
Oh, well.
There's a lot of wonderful stuff there.
Being, 27 years old, and the voice doesn't really develop fully until your 30s. And so every year there's a huge change in technique, in interpretation, in text, in understanding the text. So, of course, there's always things to change, but I'm always singing Lucia, so it's fun to see how it was 1 year ago.
So, as a performer with the Chicago Lyric, you have somebody who's constantly saying, okay, in effect, a coach, do it this way, do it that way, change this, leave that.
Of course, yeah. About 6 coaches that I see, especially in the summer, I see regularly almost every day. But during the season, you find the coach that does the repertoire that you're working on. So if I'm doing Hansel and Gretel, I would find the great German coach. And of course, they all have their own opinions of how I should be singing. And then I have to see my voice teacher and other voice coaches.
Lead to a true mad scene, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you don't just trust yourself. So after you get all the input, you just have to kind of take it together and decide what do you like about that. So it's really about creating your own artistry and your own, be responsible for your own art.
You really do have to develop a strong sense of who you are, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but at the same time, try everything out. And be, I consider myself a versatile singer. And so, you can just try it out and see how it feels. And if it didn't work, then you just go the other route.
You do have to be pragmatic as well as artistic.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, thanks for stopping by and sharing some of your music.
Thank you, Norman.
Look forward to your next visit.
Yes, of course. Me too.
And maybe we'll be talking about, jazz or something next time.
Sure. Why not?
Sounds like a plan.